Sweet.
I hate you. Some of the most difficult words for a young parent to hear. Have you ever, parents, have you ever heard that from your child? No, never. The first time it's like, oh, it hurts so bad. When I was a kid, I got creative when I would tell my mom off like that. I would say, Mom, I would write Mom on a piece of paper, and I would take an eraser and I would go, Mom, and I would erase her name. This is you. Woo. Those words get your attention. When I read the passage for this week to prepare for this message, those words really got my attention. Because Jesus comes right out of the chute and he says, unless you hate your family, you cannot be my disciple. What? Wait a minute. You remember the last time I preached? I talked about Jesus bringing fire to the earth. And this time I'm talking about Jesus telling you have to hate your family. Do you see a trend? See, I know. I know what's happening. Hate. Really? I don't know about you, but this word just distracts me. And before we can go on and study this whole passage and what it means for our life, let's deal with this word. What's Jesus talking about here? Because doesn't it seem out of character for everything else you've heard about Jesus? So let's look at what the whole Bible says about hate. We're going to take a little stroll down into hate land in the Bible, okay? So let's go first to Leviticus chapter 19. In the law of the Israelites, it says this, you shall not hate your brother. Okay, so don't hate. That's a law. And then in Matthew 5, when Jesus is talking, he says, you have heard that it was said to love your neighbor but hate your enemy. I mean, that kind of makes sense. But Jesus said, no, no. You need to love your enemy. So is Jesus saying you got to love your enemy but hate your family? That doesn't seem right. So now the Apostle Paul, when he was writing a letter to the Galatians, he lists this whole list of junk, this whole list of evil and junk that gunks up our heart. And right in the middle of it is hatred. And he said, if you have hatred in your heart, you can't inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, so hatred is not part of the plan. And then finally, John, in his letter, he said, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. So the overwhelming teaching of the Bible about hating somebody is don't do it. Don't hate. We're called to love even our enemies. So what's going on here? What is Jesus talking about when he says hate your family? Well, I think there's two things at play. First of all, there are different words being used here. You see, in the list that Paul does in Galatians, when he says hatred, he's using a Greek word there, ekthros. And then doesn't that just sound like a hate word? Ekthros. If you have ekthros in your heart, you can't inherit the kingdom. Because that word is really the word being an enemy. It has the sense of, I want to destroy you. I want to tear you down. And that's what we think of when we think of hatred, isn't it? Well, in this passage, when Jesus says, hate your family, he's using the word miseo, which is much less passionate. It really means to turn aside or to disassociate with something. So when Jesus says you must miseo your family, he's not saying you must seek to destroy your family. Never do we do that. I don't care how bad it gets. We, as followers of Jesus, never want to destroy anyone. We're called to love even those who want to destroy us. But if you want to be a follower of Jesus, you may be called to walk away from your family. See, because here's the second thing that's going on. I think what Jesus is really getting at here is this idea of identity. Because in that world, in the Jewish world of Jesus' day, your clan was everything. Your identity was wrapped up in who your father was. If your father was an important person, you were automatically an important person. Your life was mapped out based upon your clan. They even chose your spouse for you. And so Jesus is saying to his disciples, who were all Jewish at this point, he said, if you want to follow me and your family rejects me as the Messiah, you're going to have to make a choice. If you follow me, more than likely, your family's going to disown you. You're going to be thrown out, and without your clan, you have nothing. Are you willing to do that? So here's the question for us. In our world, where do we get our identity? Students know all about this. You're going into high school. You're in school. It's all about, where do I fit in? Who are my people? Who do I identify with? Because that really shapes who we are and how we think about ourselves. And maybe it's through activities. Maybe it's through your group of friends. But that forms our identity. Now, adults, we're no different. Where do we get our identity? From our job? Or maybe from our group of friends? Or from our social status? Or maybe from our toys or our possessions? You know, I drive a kind of car, therefore I am a something. I think it really boils down to this. We have these blanks. I am a blank because I blank. Fill in your blanks. I am a jock because I made the football team. I am popular because I'm with this group. I am a teamster because I'm in the union. Whatever it is, what is your identity? Now, those things aren't bad in and of themselves. But here's where it comes down. When that group that forms your identity says to you that they want you to do something that goes counter to the ways of Jesus, what do you do? You see, you're faced, on this side, you have Jesus telling you, follow me, because my way brings life. And you've got this group over here saying, do our thing, or else we're going to throw you out. We saw it in the news this week, right? We got hazing going on. If you don't do this, you're out, man. Or your boyfriend says, if you don't let me do this, I'm going to dump you. Or your boss says, fudge the numbers. Or your job's on the line. Or your employment is discriminatory. Whatever it is, we have to make a choice. And what do you do? In that moment, we have to hate those choices. We have to hate that pressure and turn away from it. Now, Jesus went on to say that this is not going to be easy. He said, you need to count the cost. And he gave two examples. First of all, he said, it would be like somebody who went to build a house and didn't run his budget. And then he's left with a half-built house. You know, then you end up on Mike Holmes' show when he has to come in and fix it for you. Or you're like a king who goes out to war and didn't count the cost, and he ends up losing the war. Now, earlier at the beginning of the service, I mentioned our ancestors who came over here from the motherland. Just to imagine what it must have been like for them as they stood there to leave it all behind. Last night I gave this example, and Gail Paschal actually came up and said that she saw her grandfather's citizenship papers. And it said, you must vow allegiance to the United States, but not only that, you must disown your allegiance to your country. You think those people counted the cost before they made that step? That's what Jesus is saying to us. You have to count the cost. So the question for us this morning is, how? How do we do this? How do we step out like Jesus asks us to? Well, here's the answer. We die. We die. We die to the idea that my identity comes from that group of people. We die to the idea that I am smart enough or strong enough or powerful enough to make any difference in this world. We die to those things. Jesus said, whoever takes up his cross and follows me, that means die. Paul put it this way, again in Galatians. He said, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ, but Christ lives in me. I want to give you a simple daily prayer. When you wake up tomorrow morning, I challenge you to make this your prayer. It goes like this. Kill me, fill me, and spill me. I want you to say it with me. Kill me, fill me, and spill me. We wake up and die. We say, Father, I die to myself. I die to my need to be important today. I die to the idea that it is my kingdom that I'm serving. I die to the need to be praised by people. And I want to live for you. Fill me with your presence so that I can overflow to those around me. You know, it reminds me of one of my favorite movies. It's called The Abyss. And it stars Ed Harris. It's a great movie. It's a story about this underwater oil drilling rig. It's kind of like a space station, but it's way under the ocean. And all these people live down there. And it's a James Cameron film, so it's epic. And what's happening is that there's this nuclear warhead way deep in this abyss, this crevice in the ocean. And Ed Harris's character's named Bud. Bud has to dive down to this deep depth and disarm this nuclear warhead. And the only way he can do it is he has to use this new technology. And this Navy SEAL is explaining it to him. He has to put on this thing that looks like a spacesuit. And it fills up, and he has to breathe oxygenated liquid. And the Navy SEAL warns him, and he says, now, when you start breathing it, your body is going to think that you're drowning. It's going to be scary. So Bud, he's like, okay, we got to do this. So he sits down, he puts the helmet on, and he sits down, and his wife's right in front of him in his face, and he says, okay, let's do it. And the liquid fills over his head and just engulfs his head. And so he holds his breath because he doesn't want to do it. So he holds his breath, and his wife's saying, just breathe it in. He's like, no, no, no. Until he can't hold his breath anymore. And finally, he sucks in all this liquid. And his body is thrashing around because everything in his body says, you are drowning. You are dying. And it's a terrible moment. And then he calms down. And he realizes, hey, I'm still alive. I'm breathing. His lungs are filled with something he'd never felt before. But he's still alive. And now, because his body is filled with this liquid, he's pressurized so he can go deeper than any human had ever gone before. And that's what Jesus is calling us to do. He's saying, die. Die to those pressures. Die to those social status or financial ideas that you are something because of that. And breathe in my kingdom, my way of being, and I will take you deeper than you've ever gone before. Now, here's the cool thing about it. We don't have to do this alone. He didn't say you have to fly solo. Because the truth is that Jesus stands before all of us together. As the body of Christ. You know, and this is really the heart of what baptism is all about. As we die to ourselves, and every day we say, Father, I walk wet. I walk in the reality of my death. And I want to walk in your way, in your kingdom. And Jesus calls us as a church to be that kind of people. But you have to count the cost. So this morning, I just ask a simple question. Are you ready to die so that together we can live? Would you stand with me? We're going to respond with a reflective song. Use this as a prayer.